weather brings.
Thursday, the 1st of March, 2007. And we wonder if this will become a red-letter day in Alabama weather history.
I just remember the wind was so loud, and I was just screaming at my babies to get in. They're 8 and 6. And I'm just screaming at them to get in the building, get in the building. Once we got in and got in the bathroom, I started praying so loud. I mean, I was screaming at the top of my lungs, just praying for us.
I ask our nation, for those who are prayerful, to give a prayer for the victims of the storms and ask for the blessings that can come upon people and the comfort necessary to deal with the recent tragedy.
Several questions that have been asked me about where was God through all of this, and I have my theology tells me that God was here with us through it all. He never left us.
Today I have walked through devastation that's hard to describe. Our thoughts, of course, go out to the students who perished. We thank God for the hundreds who lived. We can never replace lives, and we can't heal hearts except in prayer. And I know I want the students to know and the families to know that there's a lot of people praying for them.
They did exactly the right thing. They did exactly the right thing. They saved many, many lives.
Often young people associate death with an older generation, but not this close. And it's been such an awakening experience for them.
Just think, we've only had, 8 children and 1 adult that passed away through this. That's an awesome thing, son. Very awesome.
The tragedy in Enterprise, Alabama. Welcome to episode 58 of Weather Brains, the netcast that's all about weather, produced by The Weather Company. I'm David Black. On this week's netcast, the terror and the heartache for Enterprise, Alabama. With me this time, James Spann and a whole bunch of other members of our weather crew. James, how are you doing, sir?
David, I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing very well and just very grateful to be well and in good shape. A lot of people suffering. This is a kind of a somber start to the month of March for a lot of folks in the southeastern United States. 9 people died in the southeast Alabama city of Enterprise. 8 of the victims were students at Enterprise High School. The fatalities occurred when a concrete wall collapsed onto a group of students huddled in the hallway in a crouched position. James, we want to think that our kids are always safe at school, but I guess March 1st is a painful reminder that no matter what steps we may take, we just cannot always guarantee safety.
You're right, David. It's my opinion that the administration did the right thing. Those kids should have been in the school building, and I do believe the death toll would have been much higher if they would have been out in cars or in homes. But even in this case, sometimes you do the right thing, and a tragedy like this happens. And it's just a week of mourning for those that have died. And you know, the numbers, David, you always hear numbers after a tornado outbreak. And numbers are important. I'm a big numbers guy. But in terms of the deaths, when you begin to learn who these people are, they're young men and young women. These are teenagers. In Georgia, you had moms and dads and grandmamas and granddaddies that died. And the funerals, that's the hard part of that. And the funerals are going on this week down there.
Well, March 1st is a day that Shannon Inslee prays that she will never have to experience again. The day brought sheer terror as the massive storm passed right by Shannon and 2 of her 3 kids who feared for their lives. The storm went on to hit Enterprise High School, where her oldest child, 17-year-old Matthew, was in class. Where was Matthew and what was going on?
He was in the science wing, which was pretty much demolished. He was sheltering, you know, he had his arms over his head, and he had another, one of his friends, a girl student, right next to him, and he was trying to shelter her as well. He said that, you know, just everything went dark. He, his eyes, you know, ears just popped real, you know, he said his head just felt like it was going to explode. And the next thing you know, the roof was on him and it was just total devastation. He said, he realized that he was okay to, you know, get up. He had to crawl out, and once he got out, you know, and saw what had happened, of course, he said that he just was worrying about everybody else. He was worried about me because he knew that me and his little brother and sister were on our way to the high school to get him when it hit. So that he's wanting to get out there and help everybody he can. He's trying his best to cope with what has happened.
How are you coping?
I'm trying. I can't stop crying. I know I have to be thankful. You know, I am blessed. My children are blessed. We're okay. Me and my two little ones were on our way to high school. The stop sign I was at, when I looked to the left to see if there was a car coming or not, there was the tornado.
So you actually saw it?
Yeah, we were right face to face with it. All I can say is God took my car over to the doctor's office there. It's actually my children's doctor's office. And we got out of the car and ran in and got in the bathroom there with the rest of the nurses and stuff as it was starting to hit. It hit right next to us, our building. You know, it was just right next to the building we were in.
So it came right by you?
Yes, right by us.
What did it sound like?
You know, everybody, I don't understand that because I don't know if it was panic or I don't know what it was, but I didn't hear the train. Some people say it's because I was so close to it. I just remember the wind was so loud, and I was just screaming at my babies to get in. They're 8 and 6, and I'm just screaming at them to get in the building. And once we got in and got in the bathroom, I started praying so loud. I mean, I was screaming at the top of my lungs, just praying for us and everybody that was in there. And I really didn't hear anything. And I don't understand why I didn't hear it, but I didn't hear it.
And at that point in time, you didn't know about Matthew?
No. When we finally come out of the building, the school is on the same road. There was ambulances and police and undercover police and state troopers, everybody just flying down the hill toward the school. And I kept telling them there's something wrong with the school. And I don't know if they were trying to calm me down. They were saying, no, you know, there's, and it's a big housing area back there. So there's a lot of houses. I said, something's wrong with that school. And I had a line, and it's real funny now to look back, because I had a line across my car. My dad always told me, you don't touch a down line. And I finally got somebody to stop, and he picked it up. He said, ma'am, it's just a cable line. But I didn't know if it was a power line. And got free. It took me about 25 minutes because cell phone usage was almost completely gone. I finally got a hold of my brother-in-law at my mother-in-law's house, and he said that Matthew called and he was okay.
So that's how you found out that he was all right.
I found out he was all right, but, you know, I still couldn't get, you know, I had to get to him, and we drove down as far as we could down the road, but the trees were covering the road, and I finally got another signal to him, and I told him, I said, walk toward the hospital, because that's where, you know, I'm waiting for you. And he never came, and they were saying that a storm was coming, and I had two terrified kids in the car. Of course, my window was busted out of the car, you know. And they finally, somebody said that they sent them all to the sanctuary at the church, which was right next to the high school.
Did Matthew know any of the students who passed away?
Yes, he did. He did. And, you know, he's got a couple of friends that's still in the hospital, and I don't know. It's just, I just don't know.
How is he doing?
He had a panic attack Saturday night. I had to take him to the hospital because I didn't know, you know. I mean, he's bruised. You know, he's got bruises. He got hit in the back. He got hit on his leg. He just wants to get out there and help everybody. He wants the school back, and, you know, he wants everybody just to get together and stay strong.
What do you think of the decision by the school system to keep the kids at school instead of sending them home early?
You know, that, honestly, I think that from what I've seen, I think that's the safest place for those kids, because I have been out the last few days helping people pick up pieces of their homes. If all those kids had been at home with all these homes that were leveled, or out on the road like I was, you know, I
might have been worse.
It might have been. It could have been a lot worse, a lot worse. And I, you know, I don't know if keep them. You know, it, you never know when. You don't know where it's going to hit.
I'll bet you've never had anything like this happen to you before, have you?
I never want it to happen again. You know, I mean, no, it's really weird to say, but I've always thought of weather is very fascinating. You know, tornadoes, hurricanes, just very fascinating, but not anymore.
That's Shannon Inslee of Enterprise. This is one case of a tornado that struck with advance notice. Kevin Selle talks with Dennis Feltgen with the National Weather Service in Washington.
A particularly dangerous situation tornado watch had been out for at least 6 hours before the tornado event occurred. And when the tornado warning was issued by the National Weather Service forecast out of Tallahassee, which has responsibility for the Enterprise area, the lead time was 18 minutes. That is above the national average of 13 minutes.
And so how did school officials perform on early evaluation?
The school did exactly what it was supposed to do. It had drilled this many, many times, and by placing the students in the hallways, they were putting as many walls as they could between they and the approaching tornado, and they were protecting their head by crouching down on the ground. They did exactly what they were supposed to do.
And yet reality is really that few buildings can withstand a direct hit.
Much will depend upon the way the school is built, and often it is one of the safer structures in an area, certainly compared to the smaller homes or even the mobile homes that could be around it. But a school, like any other building, is not a guarantee that it will withstand the worst of tornadoes. Some buildings are safer than others, but when you take a direct hit by an EF3, a high-end EF3 tornado, as this was, there's no guarantee.
That's Dennis Feltgen with the National Weather Service in Washington. Now, you heard Shannon Inslee's comments a moment ago about the decision to keep kids in school at Enterprise High that stormy day instead of sending them home early. Her views come at a time when some question the wisdom of the decision by school's superintendent, Dr. Jim Reese. But if you sample opinions from other people in Enterprise, there's no question about how they feel. Melinda Boswell is the wife of Enterprise Mayor Kenneth Boswell.
I think they did an excellent job because when the sirens started going off, they had the children in what is considered a safe place. They had the routines down pat. If they had let them go instead of holding them, just as one of the students said, look at the parking lot. All those kids would have been in those cars, and you would have had more deaths.
So it would have been a catastrophe of even worse scale at that point.
Oh, yes. How many children is going to go straight home when they're let out early from school? You know what I mean?
I know you've probably talked to some of high school age kids after this. What are you hearing from the kids?
They're very supportive of the decision that was made by the Board of Education. They've all been very respectful of their classmates that did not make it out. They are not being slanderous whatsoever. Like I said, you know, there's a quote in one of the interviews from one of the students that was there. It said, look, it could have been me out there in that parking lot, you know, in one of those cars. So, you know, I've not heard anything detrimental. The most that I've seen detrimental and the most of the questions that's being asked and second-guessing the Board of Education has actually been what I've heard has been the media.
What has this done to the community?
Oh, it's awesome. You ought to be here and just see. They are pulling together. They are helping one another. They're holding up one another. They're providing for one another. It's just awesome. You know, we are in a lot of people say a strong family, tight-knit, Christian community. You know, sure, we have what everybody else experienced, but we have strong beliefs and we love one another.
It sounds as if this was just something that was not escapable for some people.
I don't think, let me put it this way. We in this area, we have, you know, severe weather comes through because we're close to the Gulf like we are. And we plan for it. We prepare for it every time. But something of this magnitude don't come around every day. And I believe they were as prepared for it as we could have been. I think everybody pulled together, and I think everybody understood that, that this is something you can't avoid. If, you know, you take a strip of damage that's a half a mile wide, 8.5 miles long, how can you avoid it?
It sounds to me as if a lot of folks in your area then support the decision by Dr. Reese to keep the kids in school.
I haven't heard anything negative. And I am not negative. Like I said, my child went through school here, went through 2 years of junior college here. I support them. I would have much rather my child have been there than to have been at my house alone. If y'all could have come down and look at some of the damage, and you get thinking about who would have been out on the street, because you take lunch hours is what, normally from 12 to 1. This happens a few minutes after 1. Where was most people at? Most of the working people were at work. So those houses that were hit, you know, how many were occupied at the time? You know, and a lot of them, if they were older people, you know, they may have had somewhere else to go. Just think, we've only had, what, 8 children and 1 adult that passed away through this? That's an awesome thing, son. Very awesome. And if you had all those children down on the road at that time, what would it have been?
I understand. Well, our thoughts are with you, and we appreciate your talking with us very much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
That's Melinda Boswell. She's the wife of Enterprise Mayor Kenneth Boswell. So what do local emergency planners have to say about the school system's decision?
They did exactly the right thing. They did exactly the right thing. And they should be lauded and should be commended for the decisive and the quick action they took. They saved many, many lives.
Larry Walker is deputy director of the Coffee County Emergency Management Agency.
My feeling, in fact, is that they made exactly the right decisions for two reasons. One, it was the right decision, and that's exactly what we were coaching and encouraging them to do. The difficulty with those kinds of decisions are, when do you make a run for cover? And the run for cover from school, obviously, is to get the kids in the buses and get them home so they are in their homes for cover. The problem you deal with tornadoes and tornado alerts is they move very quickly. They drop down unexpectedly. The National Weather Service does the best job they can trying to tell us where the severe cells are that are likely to form tornadoes, and we track those cells. But there may not be a tornado at the time a tornado warning is put out. The tornado may not have actually formed and dropped down yet. And if we put out a warning at 10 o'clock and tell everybody, okay, immediately jump in the buses and go home, it could drop down 5 minutes later, right above them. So the deal is, when a warning comes up, get indoors. If you are already indoors, stay there. And that's exactly the decision that was made.
If they had let school out 20, 30 minutes earlier, what do you think would have happened?
I don't know, and I don't like to think about it, but from my own just general postulation, we could have had, instead of the tragedy that we already have with 8 children killed and 1 adult over on the west side of town, we could have had potentially dozens, if not hundreds.
Walker feels there never really was a clear-cut opportunity earlier in the day for the school system to send kids home early.
So what do we do? Every day when we wake up, we see clouds and there's a little rain on the windshield. Okay, no school today. Everybody stay home. No work today. We'd never go outside for about 2 to 3 months. It's difficult. It's very difficult to work around it in a work-a-day sense, from the standard everybody's got to get up and go to work each day, and also from the standpoint of the kids got to get up and go to school. Otherwise, it'll take us about 30 years to get them out of high school.
That's Larry Walker. He's with Coffee County Emergency Management. Now, at First Baptist Church in Enterprise, the tragedy was very much on the minds of congregation members during Sunday services. Pastor Lance Hogan says you can count him among those supporting Dr. Reese and the school system for their handling of the event.
I really support our school and Dr. Reese and his decision to keep the kids there, even though you say, well, it hit. Well, it did hit. But we've got to do the best that we can to protect ourselves. And to me, I think that was the wisest move.
Well, I'm sensing now that a lot of people support Dr. Reese on this.
Absolutely. We recognize Dr. Reese in our church, and there was nothing but a standing ovation for his support of him. He's a very wise man. This is not the first crisis he's been through. Anybody that's been here, that's involved in this, that knows firsthand of what's taking place, they affirm him. Very supportive.
How is this affecting the community?
Well, David, of course, when any tragedy hits, you have a variety of different emotions. You see them surfacing in various ways. Now, I can't speak for the entire community, but for the context that I've encountered, it's an unbelievable camaraderie that is taking place. You would think we already were a close-knit community, but a lot of people, a lot of barriers. I know we have worked closely with a few other ethnic communities before, but now there seems to be that barrier disappearing more than ever before, which if there's something positive that can come out of this, that's definitely one of those. It really is. So there's a real close intimacy growing among the entire community.
Sunday morning church service. What did you tell members of the congregation?
Well, I try to answer several questions that have been asked me about where was God through all of this, and I have my theology tells me that God was here with us through it all. He never left us. Just because the tragedy does come to good people doesn't mean it's because of their wrong or their sin that God doesn't care. It just simply means that it rains on the just as well as the unjust. And what we as Christians have, as believers, we simply have the presence of God with us to empower us and to help us through these things that all people face. And that at this time in our lives, we should really allow our faith to be the foundation that we stand on, as well as the good times.
You've probably talked with some of the kids in the high school since this happened. What kind of an effect has it had on them that you can see?
Well, I've listened to some of them in their Sunday school class talk about, many of them, this is the first experience they've had with death, especially of a close friend. And, you know, maybe they've seen a grandparent in a casket or experienced that funeral, but not a close friend, not someone their age. Often young people associate death with an older generation, but not this close. And it's been such an awakening experience for them. And then mourning the loss. But at the same time, these kids are really turning to each other. They're bonding. And not only our kids, but we had a group of 60 or 70 kids from a neighboring town about 30, 40 miles away come to meet with some of ours at our church and went out to work in an area. And, you know, that's just absolutely incredible to see their concern for a rival town that's big sports-minded as we are, but yet something like that, they have really turned a different appearance, and it's just very encouraging to see that. I mean, that's so supportive. That's marvelous.
I know that you all are hurting. I get the sense, though, that Enterprise will come through this stronger as a community.
Oh, yeah. You know, the old saying, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger, of course. But, you know, I think through our faith and through the support of other people nurturing, that metal iron sharpens iron, and it just makes it stronger. And with the help of the Lord and through working through people, yes, they'll be strong. They really will.
Anything else you'd like to say I've not asked you?
Well, no other than just send a word of thank you to everybody. Goodness, within our state and outside the state and communities, people have just been...
You've had a lot of response.
Oh, yeah. You know, I hear people on the other end say these things, how people have responded, but until you're on this end and actually be a part of hearing this, it is incredible. It really is. makes you realize there is another side of this world rather than just the negative things that you hear day in and day out about people. There is another side to folks out there, and there's a whole silent majority out there that really cares, and that's great. That is wonderful. It really is.
That's Lance Hogan of First Baptist Church, Enterprise, Alabama. Maybe you've got thoughts on the Enterprise tragedy. Did administrators do the right thing? Are you still confident about schools' severe weather safety, or does this event shake that confidence? We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call toll-free, 1-888-247-8627, 888-247-8627. If you prefer to email us, our address is question@weatherbrains.com. Thoughts, guys?
I tell you, Dave, we were, of course, covering the weather on Thursday, and I've only gotten this feeling twice since I've been doing weather for about 15 years. And it was just the sickest feeling I can describe when I saw that the tornado had hit the school. It occurred also back when the church got hit in Goshen during the Palm Sunday outbreak back several years ago. You know, when we got that first amateur radio report, it just made the hair stand up on the back of your neck because you knew that this was going to be a bad situation. And within minutes, we were getting reports and rumors and unsubstantiated things as they became clear. It was the sickest feeling I ever remember in weather.
James, you said you'd gotten somewhere. I heard you had more than 1,000 emails after the event. You want to share the tone of those?
Well, you know, most of them were, you know, making some comments on the warning process. And as always, you got some negative notes and some positive notes. And there was quite a bit of you know, traffic about the school situation in Coffee County. And it kind of prompted me to write a fairly long op-ed piece on our blog about that. It's alabamawx.com. And it's my opinion that the school system did the right thing. I believe that they did what was right. And all of these national TV talking heads, and that's what bothered me. And these are people that come in from out of town that don't understand tornadoes, severe thunderstorms, the tornado warning process, Alabama weather history, engineering methods, and home and school design and construction. They just don't get it, and they're critical of these people at a time when they're in such pain and such grief in their mourning. And I know those people in the Enterprise were delighted the minute they left town. And I hate that they had to go through that, but I agree with the concept that if the kids would have stayed in school or if they would have been dismissed, then your death toll could have been, you know, 30 or 40 or 50 or higher, because not many high school kids are going to go home and watch weather on local television. They're going to get on MySpace or drive in their car and go cruising. And I just think they did the right thing. And any engineer will tell you the same thing. And many of the engineers, in fact, have commented on that as part of those emails I've gotten.
You know, I think from my perspective, and, you know, I got some of those negative emails myself, James, about some comments that I made after the governor's press conference on Friday. And I think that a lot of people hear what they want to hear when people comment regarding this matter. You know, I too believe that they should be in schools. You and I pretty much toe the same line on this. But what I mentioned was that I've mentioned on this show before that I have a real soft spot for education. I have a soft spot for those kids and for the teachers and the administration. I don't want to indict anyone. I don't want anybody to be brought up on any sort of charges of negligence with this, but I would like to see, not necessarily in the media. This is something maybe the media needs to stay out of and state government needs to do, and they need to go in there and find out exactly what was happening before and during the tornado. It seems like there might have been confusion. There might not have been confusion. I just think that it would be very helpful for us as partners in the decision-making process, because these school administrators, they listen to us, they listen to the National Weather Service, and they take all of our opinions into account. And I think that we need to take this as an example, as a learning point. And if there were mistakes, then we need to learn from those mistakes. That's how you learn. That's how the society gets better. You learn from the mistakes of your history. That's just my two thoughts.
Has anybody heard how many students were not in the designated safe place when it actually hit?
That I don't know. Have not heard that.
I certainly back Dr. Reese with his And I was listening, I watched the Fox News channel a whole lot on Saturday. They had almost continuous coverage of the Enterprise tornado and also the one over the Americus, Georgia. And they were broadcasting a lot of positive stuff out of Enterprise, how people had come together. And I did not hear but much negative stuff about the school administrators' decisions with them. And I noticed, too, on Good Morning America, a similar good coverage.
And like I say, I'm not trying to be negative at all. I'm not indicting anybody. I'm not trying to point a finger, certainly, at any administrators. You know, I just think that we need to know, and James brought this out on that blog, one of his blog posts, that somebody needs to go in and find out why that wall failed. There are questions that need to be answered on a scale not to be disseminated to the public, not to try to get anybody in trouble, but to try to make this something that doesn't happen again. This is one of those cases where it's like a card game. You were dealt the hand that life gives you. You're dealt those cards, and you've got to make the best decision with the cards that you've got. And I believe that those administrators made the best decision they could, and it doesn't always turn out for the best. You know, you can't always prevent the loss of life, and that's so tragic that there's nothing we can do to prevent that. But if there is something, if there is something we can learn from this, I'd love for us to do everything possible to learn it, to learn what that lesson is.
Jason, we can make that promise, too, because David and I have been talking about this with regard to future segments, and a lot of those questions can't be answered right now, but they will be answered in the future as people sort of look and evaluate things like, why did the wall go down? We're gonna follow up on the engineering studies that are done there. The Weather Service folks, you know, they take a position that they can't really interfere with an individual school system, but they set out their guidelines, but the individual school systems will evaluate, and the Weather Service will evaluate their performance as well, and I promise all the listeners that in future episodes we will follow up on some of those follow-ups, if you will.
One of our blog readers and one of our listeners, Mike Wilhelm, dug out some interesting statistics. This was the first instance in 16 years that a tornado caused fatalities at a school in the entire United States of America. And there have been hundreds and hundreds that have died in homes, site-built homes, mobile homes, cars, trucks, and vehicles. And I have this great fear that every time we've got some kind of severe weather risk, every school system is going to close down. And that will really bother me. So I'm hoping that anybody that's listening, that I'm just appealing to your common sense that kids need to be in a school building. It's a better place to be. Now, if a parent thinks they can take care of a child better, sure, they can have the freedom to come get them and take them home. But in a large percentage of the cases, the children are better off in a school building.
You really want to emphasize that and remember the ripple effect back from the 1999 incident in Oklahoma, where everybody was up under the overpass, and that's turned into this effect where people were actually driving off the side of the road to get to an overpass to protect themselves from an approaching tornado, and that turned out to be the worst thing in the world. So that really is important to say, we've looked at this for a long, long time, and this is your best course of action. Don't have a knee-jerk reaction the next time based on this one event. I'm sorry, Jason, go ahead.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Kevin. When I mentioned the lesson that we need to learn, the lesson that we need to learn is not push the panic button every time it thunders. The lessons we need to learn are deeply rooted somewhere in there, and it's going to take a long time to really uncover all the facts. And you know, that's just something that I feel would give it would help out a lot, because some of the messages that I got, the emails that I got, were from retired teachers who were watching that show on Friday after the press conference, and they were just livid that I said that we needed to investigate this. But the point of what I said was not that we need to investigate the people. We need to investigate the process, the building, and learn from it. Learn that lesson, not the, as you said, the knee-jerk reaction lesson.
Yeah.
Well, another interesting statistic for 2007 is that 72% of the deaths so far in the United States have been in mobile homes.
Mm. Yeah, that's the bigger story here. I mean, this was a 1 in 100 event, and I'm not sure you know, and we can study it definitely, Jason, you know, and look at the engineering, but I'm not sure that anything could have been changed or will be changed because of it. The bigger story in tornado deaths, and it happens in the Southeast with the biggest prevalence, is mobile homes. And what are we going to do about mobile homes? And I mean, I don't know, and Brian, you can talk to this more than anybody. Can we get death rates any lower if the number of mobile homes, you know, stays where it's at? I don't think you can.
I don't think so either. I think there's a lot of things that can be done to help make our schools safer by doing things like putting safe rooms or reinforcing hallways that are used for shelter in schools. There's a lot that can be done. But, you know, the issue here isn't the decision the school board made down there or the superintendent made. They made the absolute right decision. I think what school boards across the state and across the country need to do is to look at their decisions to let the kids out. I'm a firm believer that letting the kids out is the biggest mistake the school board and a superintendent can make ever. And yes, here we got a school that's been hit and 8 students are dead. But that's 8 out of 1,200 that were at risk. And it's just, I don't know, I don't think the numbers and the events really tell us anything that the school boards need to be doing, except the ones that are letting them out need to stop it.
I think, Brian, you're right. I think one thing that school administrators have got to do is go back and assess their facilities and establish the help of professionals like you who can, you know, help them make the right decisions as to where those students should be sheltered. Because I'm afraid, unfortunately, that we're not always putting them in very good places in those schools, you know, because they're very crowded and space is limited. And I think we need to look at it from that standpoint. And I think that's what Jason's saying. You know, there are lessons that can be learned in enterprise, not from the decision by the administrators, but, you know, how can we make our schools safer?
That's what I'm talking about, Bill. And John, it's not that I don't think that lives could have been saved at all. That's not what I'm getting at. What I'm saying is, if there's something we can learn, and there may be nothing at all. There might not be one single lesson. Everything could have been followed by the book, and there might have been absolutely nothing else that could have been done. But if there is, we need to know that. And it's those small things. It's always the little things that can make a big difference. And if that one little thing saves another life, I want to find it.
Are there any state laws anywhere that require mobile home parks to provide a safe shelter, a central location where everybody can go and be safe?
I don't think so, JB. Not that I know of, but you know, Indiana's passed a law through their House now. You know, House Bill 1037, CJ's law, is named for the little boy named CJ Martin that was killed in the Evansville tornado in November of 2005. And their law is going to, you know, force people to put weather radios in mobile homes that have been moved or are newly installed. And I think that's a great thing, but I think JB raises a very important point. The more important thing, because once that weather radio goes off and we get the national average of 10 minutes of warning, you know, where are those folks going to go? They don't have a chance unless there's a designated shelter or they've already made a decision in advance. JB's hitting the nail on the head as far as that goes. We should be required to, you know, to put shelters in those locations.
I just want to throw in that I'm really inspired by having talked with some of the folks down in Enterprise who are dealing with such a heartbreaking tragedy. There is so much optimism about the future, and they're really so firmly committed to building back and dealing with this and accepting that this happens in life. And James, I guess the understatement of the day is to say that it's obvious that the people of Enterprise, Alabama are a very strong faith.
They are. That's a good part of Alabama down there, David, and some wonderful godly people, and they're going to get through this, and they're going to have some hard days. And, you know, it's interesting. I know some people that went through the April 8th, 1998 F5 in Birmingham are interested in going down there and helping them. For many of those people that lost a child, the one thing they really could use is a human being that can look them in the eyes and say, I know how you feel, and really mean that. And there are some here that can do that, and hopefully they will have the opportunity to minister to those people in coming days and weeks. The hardest part, and I know this for these families that are grieving. It's not right now. They're surrounded by friends and relatives and all these people, but in a few weeks when all of the, you know, attention settles down and they're getting back to a normal routine, realizing that their teenage boy or girl will never be with them again on this earth, and that's when it gets really hard. So it's encouraging to me that some people up here have had an interest in going there and going down there to minister to them.
Very good.
David, in all my years in the National Weather Service, we discovered that any time there was a tornado in the state, especially one that killed some people, that the awareness of severe weather jumped greatly. Even one peal of thunder would bring a number of telephone calls to our office. So I feel like that for the next 1 or 2 years at least, people are going to be more aware and more ready to take action and protect themselves when there's a tornado warning.
Maybe so, maybe so. Well, time to look at another time in Alabama's weather history when tornadoes were very much a part of the picture. It's this week in weather history with Bill Murray.
The headlines in early March 1967 were dominated by war news from Vietnam. President Johnson announced that he was going to order a lottery-style draft. Another big story was the investigation by New Orleans District Attorney Jim Garrison into Clay Shaw's possible involvement in a JFK assassination conspiracy. In the Birmingham News on the morning of Thursday, March the 6th, 1967, forecaster Jerry Couard greeted Chief Meteorologist Charles Bradley as they came on duty at the Weather Bureau office at the Birmingham Airport. They knew that it was going to be an interesting day. In fact, forecasters had known for nearly a week that Thursday would be a potentially bad severe weather day. Our very own J.B. Elliott was on duty that morning. As he pondered the forecast deadline that he had at 10:30, he saw a classic severe weather pattern developing. When a new low-pressure area started forming at the surface, he became reasonably certain that it would be an ideal situation for a significant tornado to form about 100 miles ahead of a cold front and sweep eastward across the state. JB had a forecast due at 10:30. He lobbied for more time, though, as data continued to pour into the office. Not only was severe weather possible, but on the back side of the low, there were indications that snow would actually fall. At 11:05, he sent his forecast, and it was a good one, alerting about the possibility for tornadoes and giving a heads up for the pending snowfall. The first warning was for Pickens, Lamar, and Fayette counties based on a tornado report near Philadelphia, Mississippi. About 3:30, a tornado was reported near Summerton in Walker County, where witnesses described it as a puff of smoke. This would be the most significant tornado of the day. The F4 cut a 30-mile path across Walker and Jefferson counties. A chilling report came into the Weather Service when a caller phoned to say he had just emerged from his storm shelter in Dora and was watching the storm as it moved off to the northeast, clearly visible as a tornado. That tornado passed near Rocky Hollow, where it killed a 16-year-old young man named Dennis Wright, who was credited with saving a young girl by urging her to safety. The tornado caused heavy damage at Dilworth and killed a 27-year-old woman there. The tornado lifted after passing near Warrior, and a total of 50 homes were damaged or destroyed across Walker and northern Jefferson County in the wake of the storm. A total of 2 people died. At least 6 other tornadoes were reported across the state, including an F2 that struck the downtown area of Uniontown in Perry County. That's this week in weather history. David?
Thank you very much, Bill Murray. Next time on Weather Brains, polygon warnings, the report that we had planned on bringing to you this time, but had to delay it a week because of all the breaking weather out of Enterprise. An enhancement the National Weather Service believes will make severe thunderstorm and tornado warnings more useful to the public. That is next time on Weather Brains. We hope you can join us. Once again, if you'd like to give us a phone call and talk weather, our toll-free number, 888-247-8627. 247-8627. Our email address, question@weatherbrains.com. A reminder that the opinions expressed on Weather Brains are not necessarily those of ABC 3340, and some of the music that was provided during this netcast comes from The Pod Show, PodSafe Music Network, online at music.podshow.com. For the Weather Brains crew, James Spann, J.B. Elliott, Kevin Selly, Bill Murray, John Oldshoe, Brian Peters, and Jason Simpson, I'm David Black. We thank you for listening and hope you'll join us again for our next Weather Brains netcast. Weather Brains, copyright 2007. All rights reserved. Adios. Thank you, guys. Enjoyed the show.
Clearly our best one, David.
Good show, David.
Peace, David.
Best one ever.
Appreciate it.
Willing to bed. See y'all.
All right. Enterprise, bye, we're thinking about y'all. Bye.
See you, boys. Bye-bye.
Night-night. Bye.